I'll ask you to turn to, if you have a Bible, to turn to Ezekiel 37. We'll be reading about, the first 14 verses in Ezekiel 37. Hear God's Word. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word, for the occasion. We thank you, Lord, that you're good and gracious to us in every respect. And we pray now that you be good to us and be pleased to utilize these means of your word to speak to us, that we might learn of you and be drawn to you. So bless us, we pray. Give us your grace. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. Well, we're here at an ordination service, and we're glad for that. And we're glad that Rick Anderson is being ordained to the gospel ministry. And that's what we call it. And the gospel, of course, is the good news. And ministry means service. So we put those two things together. It is the gospel service, or ministry of service in the gospel. That's what Rick is being called to. And the good news is also God's means. God's means of causing new life to emerge in the likes of us. And I have a little quote from a Puritan commentator, Greenhill, and he was a Westminster divine, William Greenhill, and he says this about preaching and prophesying and means. He says, we must not neglect means and leave all to God, that is, tempting the Most High. Neither must we trust a means when used, that is, to idolize the creature. But we must use means and look to God to be all in them. For without Him, nothing is done. And if we make Him all in the means, we shall make Him all after them. God does use means. And this is why we come together for services like this. And as Greenhill says, if we make God everything in the means, then He will be everything after those means. And so part of what we're to do and part of what Rick is to do is to trust God in the use of these means that God ordains. And that's the burden of what I have for you today, is to trust God in the means He ordains to lead others to Christ, to lead you to Christ. And I think in the end, this is what's happening in Ezekiel chapter 37 as we look at it. So that's the point for this evening. Trust God to use the means to change your life. And Rick, you need to trust God to use means to change the lives of others and bring people to Christ. The Lord, in our text this evening, shows Ezekiel that Israel is like a bunch of dried, scorched bones filling a very broad valley. Again, verses 1, 2, and 3 in Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them around about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, You know. So here is Ezekiel in a vision. And the Lord, in the vision, I think it's actually the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord takes him out into this broad valley. And of course, Ezekiel was in Babylon. And we've seen pictures on the television here lately of this broad valley. It's the Euphrates Valley. And it's a large, broad valley. And Babylon was actually in the same locale as the places that we've seen on television. And when Ezekiel is out in this valley, he looks and the valley is full of bones. It's just not two or three bones. It's thousands and ten thousands of bones laying on this dry valley. And if you paid attention to the news at all, you realize that in the summertime, it's 120 degrees in that valley. It's a little warm. And so these dead bones are scorched bones. They're bleached white. And maybe if you've been out west, you've seen bones like this lying in the field, as I have. A cattle that die in the field, and you see the carcass in the field, and then the bones emerge. That's what Ezekiel saw as he was in this valley. And the Lord says, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, that's the question, isn't it? Can these bones live? And the Lord addresses Ezekiel with these words, Son of man. And the word Son of man here, I think, mean, literally they do mean, Son of Adam. And in Ezekiel, which the words are used several times, these words Son of man, I think, mean, with reference to Ezekiel, you remember, Ezekiel, that you're among the fallen. You're a child of Adam by nature, and you need the Savior. You need Jesus Christ. And in this vision now, the Lord is reminding him of this, and He's taking him out into this valley of dry bones. My wife and I just visited the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio. We were coming back on a trip. And in that museum, there's a little section from the Holocaust. And I took a picture of a set of pajamas hanging in one of the displays that the Jewish people were forced to wear when they were in places like Auschwitz and Birkenau and Treblinka, these death houses. And you can see pictures of the bones that are left after the gas chambers. It's a horrifying thing. And this is the kind of thing Ezekiel was seeing. And he gets this question about these bones living. And the interesting thing is that this is a vision of Israel. If you have your Bible and you look at verse 11, it says, "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. We are completely cut off." This is a vision of people who are cut off from their homeland, cut off from their Lord, and cut off from their place of worship, and they are shriveling and drying up as a people. That's what the vision is about. It's about these people that are in exile in Babylon. And amazingly enough, in the vision, God indicates that these people can live again. In verses 5 and 6 we read, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord." Then verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them." This is kind of like a science fiction movie. You've seen this kind of thing. These bones, these bodies, and all of a sudden, there's flesh on these bodies. These bones are covered with flesh. And verse 12 again gives the interpretation. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." So you see, this is about Israel in captivity. And God is saying, I'm going to give you new life and bring you out of captivity and bring you into your new land. I'm going to give you life and bring you into your new land, into your land. Now, a little note here that's helpful, I think. Part of the idea is that the people are going to return to their homeland. But the homeland, the idea of the homeland, is really a subtext. I think that's important for us to understand. You see, the whole idea is that the people were ejected from their land because they sinned. And they are now dead in sin. That's the problem. And God says, you're going to return to your homeland, all right, but the way you're going to get there is you're going to be given new life. And so the idea of being given life takes priority over the land. I think we always get this backwards. We're incipient dispensationalists in many ways. We think the land is what's important. But you see, it's not really the land that's important. It's the giving of new life that's important. And that's what's happening here in Ezekiel. And so the people are being given hope by the prophet, by God through the prophet. And they're being said they'd be brought to life and be taken back to their land. Several years ago when I came back from Vietnam, my tour of duty in Vietnam, so that'd be a couple of years ago, I was a chaplain over there. And when I came back, I had the call to do a funeral service for a young man who'd been killed in Vietnam. And when I went to the funeral service, my wife and I went to the funeral service. This was in South Carolina. And we never saw so much wailing and crying in all of our lives. And when we went into the home of the young man, there were people literally draped over the casket, wailing and crying. And when we went to the funeral service, there was not one word of hope that was spoken at this funeral service. although most of the relatives were ministers of one sort or another. And I add that idea of one sort or another, you see. It was such a dismal scene that when we got to the graveside, and I was to conduct the graveside service, it was a military funeral, I preached at the graveside. And I used 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and preached on the resurrection because there was no hope given to these people. And here in our text, God is beginning to give hope to the people in exile, saying that they're going to be brought back and they're going to be given new life, you see. And how does this new life come? It comes by the enlivening work of the Spirit. Verses 9 and 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, you may know this, but the word breath is the same word in the Hebrew language as the word spirit. And so in the vision, the whole idea is that the Spirit, he's calling the Spirit to come, to come. You see, here are, as it were, corpses. They were dry bones and now they've been covered with flesh. And that's how the Israelites actually were. They were dead in trespasses and sins in captivity. And now they had to be given new life, and new life by the Spirit. And verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. How is it that you receive new life and I receive new life? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you do have your Bible there, I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, where you find the parable of the prodigal son. And I want to read just the very last verse in this parable, the parable of the prodigal son, which is Luke 15:32. The father of the prodigal is speaking to the elder son, because the elder son is a little bit dismayed that the younger brothers come now, and all these niceties have been given to the younger son. And so the father is saying to the elder son, but we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, or has come to life. And it's exactly the same concept that we read in Ezekiel chapter 37. In fact, if you look at the Greek Old Testament, it's exactly the same word that's utilized. You've come to life. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and has come to life and was lost and has been found. And so the whole idea, you see, of coming to life is the idea of the new birth and of conversion. And this is exactly what the Israelites in captivity needed. And friends, isn't that what you and I need? We need new life. You need new life. Through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, new birth and conversion to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what our text is talking about. Again, verse 14, I will put my Spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place on you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. What am I going to do? I'm going to place my Spirit within you. This is exactly the same idea, if you go back now a page, to Ezekiel 36. In fact, this is parallel to Ezekiel 36. Now look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be very careful to observe my ordinances. I'm going to put my spirit within you, and what will be the result? I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be very careful to observe my ordinances. When God gives you new life, friends, you are changed. You are a different person. You do different things. God causes you from the inside out to walk in His ways, to trust Jesus Christ and to walk in His ways. And this is what everyone needs in this world. And the amazing thing is, as you go back to Ezekiel chapter 37, the amazing thing is that all of this comes about through the ministry of the Word. See, we're talking about ordination tonight. We're involved in an ordination service, and we're setting aside this man for gospel ministry, to the ministry of the Word. And this whole matter of God giving new life, friends, comes about through the instrumentality, through the means of the Word. Let's look at our text again. Verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How does this new life come about? It's through the Word of God. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. It's through the ministry of the Word that new life is given. This is why it's so important for us to engage in activities like we're engaging in tonight. This is God's appointed means. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into your land. How are they to come out of their graves of death and sin and be brought back to their new land? Well, they have to be given new life. And how is that new life going to be imparted to them? Through the ministry of the Word of God. That's how that new life comes. This is very explicitly what Ezekiel is telling us. And then look at verse 7. He's told to prophesy, and so he does. Well, this is a vision, so all these things fall out in accordance with the way they ought to. He does prophesy. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and bones came together, bone to its bone. And verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. God utilizes His Word to bring new life. This was the case among the exiles in Babylon, and I say to you, friends, this is the case today. This is God's method of operation. This is how He deals with you and me. Again, I'm going to read William Greenhill, this Westminster Divine. I read part of this quote. I'm going to read it again. A little bit more of it. He says, here was prophecy used. He's talking about Ezekiel 37. But that did not work without God. Okay? The spoken word was used, but it didn't work without God. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. God could have done this without prophecy. He could have done it without prophecy. But he doesn't choose to. This is the amazing thing. But that was the means he would use and work in or by. We must not neglect means. We must not neglect the means of utilizing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, and studying the Word of God, and sitting under the Word of God. We must not neglect means and leave all to God. I think we're tempted to do that sometimes. Say, oh, God will do it. Have you ever been in that mindset? Oh, God will do it. Okay. We must not neglect means and leave all to God. That is tempting the Most High. He's designated means. So we ought to take what he says seriously. Neither must we trust to the means when used, that is to idolize the creature. And sometimes we get in this mode. God's means are preaching and praise and these sorts of things, so we've got to get to church. We better be there. And we forget, see, we're trusting in the means without God. Can't do that either. But we must use means and look to God to be all in them, for without Him, nothing is done. And if we make Him all in the means, we shall make Him all after them. So, we're together in this, friends. God is using means to bring new life to the likes of you and me. God is doing that. That's His mode of operation. Now, to nail this down a little bit more, let me give you this. Preaching is prophesying. Do you ever think about it in that way? Most of the prophecy in the Old Testament is not predictive. Do you realize that? Most of the prophecy in the Old Testament really isn't predictive. It's forthtelling. That's what it is. It's interpreting previous revelation. The prophets took the law of Moses and preached to the people. So most Old Testament prophecy really was preaching. And William Perkins, who wrote a little book, he was a 16th century Puritan, wrote a little book called The Art of Prophesying. And it's a book on preaching. And he says, preaching the word is prophesying in the name of Christ. Okay, there you have it. And another fellow by the name of Stephen Marshall, who was also a Westminster divine, and he wrote the section in the Directory for Public Worship of the Westminster Divines on preaching, this fellow by the name of Stephen Marshall. And he says, preaching is the chariot upon which life and salvation comes riding. Preaching is the chariot upon which life and salvation comes riding. And so I say to you who are pastors, prophesy, Son of Man, exactly what is said to Ezekiel, because through that prophesying and that preaching, God is pleased to bring new life to men and women and young people and children. But there's one more thing in the text that we need to see, and that is that through this prophesying, men and women are to come to grips with the Lord. It's not studying the Bible as an end in itself, or preaching as an end in itself, or sitting under the preaching as an end in itself. All of that's a big mistake. It's preaching and prophesying and sitting under the Word of God and carrying out the ministry of the Word, the gospel ministry, to the end that people would know the Lord, would know Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6, if you have your Bible. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and breathe in you that you may come to alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. What is the outcome? A knowledge of the Lord. And if you do a little study here, I think you'll determine the fact that it is the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate visitation to Ezekiel that is speaking. And individuals will come to know that He is the Lord. And of course, this is the basic Christian confession. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus, what? As Lord, right? As Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And then also look at verse 13. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. When Jesus Christ causes you to come up out of the grave of sin that you are in and raises you to new life, you will know that He is the Lord of glory. And you will say, I trust you, Lord. I believe in you. That's the ministry. And so, again, I say to you, trust God to use His means. Trust God to use His means to change lives and bring others to Christ. Trust God to use His means to change lives and bring others to Christ. This is His way. And let me emphasize Greenhill again. We must not neglect means and leave all to God. That is tempting the Most High. Neither must we trust means when used, that is, to idolize the creature. But we must use the means and look to God to be all in them, for without Him nothing is done. And if we make Him all in the means, we shall make Him all after them. Use the means and trust God in the means, and when God changes lives, what will you do? Give praise to God. That's what you'll do. Back in Sterling, Kansas, USA, which is a little town in central Kansas, we had a young man come to visit us in church who was a student at Sterling College. And his father was from the Middle East. So it's very interesting, this young man would come to church and visit with us. And he sat in the pew for a while. And when I visited with him, he said to me, I come to church here because this is a place where I've been challenged by the Word of God. And that young man's life was changed. It was changed. He was sitting like you are. And his life was changed by God, operating through His words as the appointed means. And I had the privilege of baptizing him. And his parents, his father and his mother, but his father was from the Middle East, his parents came to church and observed this, for which we were very grateful. So I say to you, friends, I say to you, brother, trust God to use His means to change the lives of men and women and to bring others to Christ. That is your ministry. And God will be pleased to use you in that ministry because this is His way of operating. This is the lesson we have from Ezekiel. Trust God in the use of means to change the lives of others and bring others to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that we have the privilege of being here together this evening. And we pray, Lord, that You'll be pleased to challenge us by Your word to do the work of gospel ministry. And I pray for our brother here this evening who is being ordained, that You'll be pleased to bless him and utilize him and grant that he will see plainly, fully, largely, that you do use the means of Your word to change the lives of men and women and young people and children and to bring people to Christ. And so, as he does do the work of gospel ministry, encourage him, Father, to see your work in the use of these means of your word and the teaching and the preaching and the counseling of your word. Bless him and bless us, we pray, as we continue to worship you this evening. We pray in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.